Okay, why don't we go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your word. Lord, you've given it to us. Lord, this book contains what you want us to know about you, about us, about sin, about the past, the present, the future. Lord, it's all here, what you want us to have. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to be diligent, Lord, in studying your word and trying to learn what it says, and Lord, and then trying to apply the principles that we see and that we read about. And Lord, through it all, we want to honor you. And I just pray, Father, that you'll be with me this morning. I pray, Father, that you'll guide what I say. Help me a lot to say things that are untrue and false. And Lord, I just pray, my desire, Lord, is just to honor you and honor your word. And I just pray that you'll open each and every heart. And Lord, just help us, Lord, just to live by the principles that you're giving here as how you want us to conduct our lives. So we just need your help to do that, Father. And we're thankful, Lord, just for the privilege of being here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, last Sunday we made it through. We're in Romans chapter 12. And and we've been going through verses 9 through 16. And we finished up 13 last week. But just to kind of get the flow of the things going here again, let's go ahead and read 9 through 16. Chapter 12, 9 through 16. And then we're going to pick it up. We're just going to pick it right up at verse 14. So who'd read those verses for us? Delbert?
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, become affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, do not. Set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion.
Okay, thank you, Delbert. All right, so we're going to just a quick recap here. This up to this point, what we've studied so far, God's given us commands here. We are to love others. We're to hate evil. We're to do good. We're to be fervent in the Lord's work. We are to rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, and distributing to the necessity of the saints. That's what we've covered up to this point. And I mean, there's a whole semi-load of information here in these verses. And this is what God, that's what he is expecting from us. That's what he's wanting us to live. And sometimes it's going to get difficult. And as we continue on with the same theme as we move ahead, it's probably going to get tougher. And some things... in fact, we're probably not going to get there, but then we're going to talk about our reaction to the government, you know. And when you got government that's doing things that we don't agree with, and yet we're to obey and follow, it's hard. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself here. So let's just pick it up at verse 14. I'm not going to back up anymore. But verse 14 says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Okay, and as we talked before, this chapter starts off with a small circle. You know, it's just talking about just, the first verses just apply to us individually. Then it spreads out, the second circle, and as it widens out, it's talking about, thou take care of the saints. You know, it includes us plus the saints. Now in verse 14, it widens out more, and it says, bless them which persecute you. Okay, so now we're moving from the, out of the realm of ourselves in the church, but now those that are persecuting us, circle's getting wider, and it'll widen one more time before we're done here. The verse says, bless them which persecute you. Is that easy to do, folks? No, it's not, okay? When somebody's persecuting us, we want to fight back. That's our human nature, okay? But God says we're to bless them. And these things are hard to live by. It's kind of like trying to live the law, you know, in the Old Testament or even today, trying to live the law. You can't do it. Our human nature gets in the road. Mine sure does. Okay, this third circle sort of embraces everybody. It's sort of the all people circle, if you will. In other words, it's broadening out to where it covers everybody. Here he discusses how we're to live in relationship to everybody, whether they be believers or unbelievers. And he starts out with the worst of people that we may meet. Well, I guess not the worst, but anyway. But yeah, I go, okay, persecuting you. Starts out with the worst of people that we may meet. Anybody who persecutes you, you bless them. That's what God wants. That's what the Christian life is supposed to be like. And I look at Jim Gay and I, you know, I say, Jim, how are you doing? And I'm not doing, I don't do very good, all right? We are to live by blessing the people who treat us with evil intention. That's the way we're to live. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 27 through 38. And who would read those verses for us? What? Luke 6, 27 through 38. Okay. Wow. Folks, who's speaking these words? Jesus Christ. That's our instructions. And that is the way that God is wanting us to live. You know, following this. And I look at this list of things that's said here. And wow. I got a long ways to go. And In other words, the world is going to respond to goodness with goodness, to love with love, but to show the distinctiveness of being Christians, we need to respond with love to those who hate us. That's hard to do. And with goodness to those who do evil to us. That's our distinctiveness. That's what's supposed to characterize the life of a Christian. Wishing them the best. Desiring that God would pour out upon them his goodness and his grace and his mercy. That's to those that's persecuting us. Hard words to live by. The verse goes on to say, bless and curse not. In other words, there is no mixture of blessing and cursing to be tolerated. It is bless them and do not curse them at all. This is distinctively Christian living. That's supposed to separate the Christians from the non-Christians. Tough words to live by. Verse 15. I better get back into Romans here. Verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Supposed to be qualities of our life. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12:26. That doesn't seem to... Okay, it's talking about rejoicing. All right, I looked at this. I thought, that doesn't seem to be the right verse. Anyway, who'd read that for us today? 1 Corinthians 12:26. Okay. Okay, thank you, Alan. Okay, it says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. That's another distinctively Christian thing, that we enjoy someone else's joy or prosperity with no jealousy. A lot of times somebody gets something new or nice, somebody gets a new car or something, and we become jealous. They got a lot nicer car than I have. Woe is me. We get jealous. And we're supposed to rejoice with the good things that happen, and when people get blessed and things like that, we're supposed to be happy about it and not become resentful or jealous. That's another distinctly Christian thing, that we enjoy someone else's joy or prosperity with no jealousy. It goes on to say, weep with them that weep. It's also distinctly Christian to be sympathetic, not indifferent. The world is becoming more and more callous, more indifferent. And oh man, is it ever. You know, it is all about me anymore. And so we're to be marked as those who are very sensitive to those around us. We rejoice when somebody gets a blessing, we rejoice with them. And again, we weep with them. We sorrow with them. And these are characteristics of living the Christian life. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. This just means to think about everybody the same. Do not be a respecter of persons. The book of James goes into that in detail. We're to treat everyone equally. It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. Treat them the same. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're to treat people equally, and we are to treat other people's things the same way we treat our own. And, you know, I mean, anyway, that's just, and again, I keep going back to when I was a kid, and I look at life the way it was when I was a kid. That's 80 years ago, folks. And things have changed. Attitudes have changed. And it's just, you know, talking to somebody this morning, you know, I keep thinking things can't get worse. And the next day they get worse. And it just, we're in a downward spiral, 100 miles an hour. And anyway, I was saying something about the Lord's could be getting very near. I hope he is. I hope he comes before this class is over. You know, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It just, anyway. It goes on to say, mind not high things. And now let's turn to James chapter 2. Most of you probably already know where we're headed. But anyway, it's just good reminders. And we're going to read, you know, mind not high things, talking about partiality. James 2, verses 1 through 9. And who'd read these for us? Somebody different. Not everybody at once. Royce, I see that hand. Yeah, that's, yeah, you're done. Thank you. Do you get the feeling that God is wanting us to treat everybody equally, no matter what their station is in life? You get that feeling? I sure do. You want to love everyone the same. Don't pursue the high people, the high position, that which is highly esteemed. We're not to do that. And there's a real temptation to do that. If a man comes into your congregation, he's very wealthy, don't give him the best seat. And say to the man who is poor, here, get under my footstool and out of the way where you belong. We're not supposed to treat people that way. We're supposed to esteem everybody the same. The Christian distinctive in lifestyle is to treat everyone the same. God views that as a very important pattern of life. It shows up in the scriptures in several different places. We are not to show partiality. It says, but condescend to men of low estate. The verse goes on to say. Condescend here has a different meaning than what it means today. Different meaning. It means don't pursue the high things, but be carried away with people of low estate. Equal. It doesn't mean that you ignore those who are high. It doesn't mean that you pursue that. You don't concentrate on that. Just praise God for those who are people of high office or high estate, significant in the world of men. We're supposed to be thankful for them. you know. And if people are rich, be thankful. You know, be happy that he's got the money that he's got, you know. And don't become bitter, because we don't. We also praise the Lord for friends who are right down on the ground level. Those, you know, in the lower echelon. Treat them the same is what it's saying. Those who are equally rich, enriching our lives. Okay, the people down on ground level, they are equally rich, enriching our lives, and who mean as much to us as any others. The whole point of this thing is there's no aristocracy in the church. Treat everybody the same. We're to be at home with the lowly as well as the rest, with everybody else. Make them feel comfortable. Make them feel at home. Turn to Luke chapter 14. And we're going to be reading verses 12 through 14. And who'd read those verses? Luke 14, 12 through 14. Pastor?
And then said he also to them that bade him, when thou givest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, not thy brother, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou givest a feast, call for the maimed and the lame and the blind. And thou shalt be blessed.
Have we been doing that, folks? Have I been doing that? No. I haven't. Anyway, powerful words. Jesus says if you're going to have a feast, don't call your friends. Call the handicapped, the outcast, and have them over, because the rest of the folks get invited all the time. These people don't. They're neglected. They're shunned. You invite the folks that don't usually get invited. We invite the rich are going to pay us back. We bring over the poor, guess who will pay us back? What does the verse say? God will. God will. Folks, that's powerful. You know? God will. The Lord will pay us back. So who do we want the blessing from, the rich or from God? Good to think about. God help us to live that kind of a disciplined life. This is what we're to do. Hard words to live by. Help us to anxiously and eagerly come under the standards of Scripture. This is God's standards for us. And to live by them with joy and gratitude. I think I need a checkup from the neck up. Note, the idea of low estate has nothing to do with spirituality. Okay? Very often some of the people who are low on the social scale are very, very high on the spiritual scale. Many times. The verse goes on to say, do not be wise in your own conceits. I think I might have skipped a page here just a second. If we're going to treat everyone equal, there are two things we're going to have to realize. Okay, sorry about that. I thought I'd made a mistake here, but I guess I didn't. In a church, there should be no social aristocracy and no intellectual aristocracy. Everybody the same. There are no levels in the body of Christ. It should be spiritually and biblically oriented, and everybody can plug into the Word of God. It goes even outside the church. We're to reach down to the people who are lowly and up to the people who are high and be available to both. Okay, we're getting ready to shift gears. Any questions or comments about anything we talked about this morning? Yes, sir.
Years ago, in fact, I think we were still meeting in the 4-H building. We had a visiting family come in, and someone told me, "Pastor, I just thought you ought to know that person's got a lot of money." I never had anyone say that to me before. So does that mean I treat them differently? They might be nicer. That was kind of the implication. Be sure you're nice to this person. So I had to be careful just to treat them as anyone else. And they don't want to be treated like royalty or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, always remember that. So why do you tell me that? I'd rather not know that.
Yeah. Good comment, Good chance to apply that scripture. Anybody else? Okay, thank you, Pastor. Okay, let's go ahead and read verses 17 through 21. And who'd read that for us? Okay, we're back in Romans chapter 12. 17 through 21. Who'd read it? Okay, I'll read it. I've already called on Royce over there. He's told me, and again, some of you probably don't know, but Royce has told me, if you can't get anybody to read, just call on me. So every now and then I just look, Royce, I see that hand. He didn't have his hand up at all. So, Delbert, go ahead.
Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. It is possible, as much as it depends on you, to live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Okay, thank you, Delbert. Okay, it says, recompense no man evil for evil. Now, again, the circle widens one final time. And that is a circle which is the personal enemies. Your personal enemies. Don't give anyone evil when they give you evil. It's a very natural reaction for us to do that. We want to fight back. We say, now wait a minute. What about the Old Testament where it says in Ezekiel, in Leviticus, Ezekiel 21, Leviticus 24, Deuteronomy 19, it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So how does all that factor into what we're talking about here? Okay? That's talking about public law. A nation is to have a system of justice that retaliates against evil. A nation's to have laws. Folks, we do have laws in this country. So that where there is murder, there should be an execution of a murderer. Excuse me. Where there's a theft, there should be retribution brought upon the thief. There is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth in a government that is ordered by laws. But that is not to be for private revenge. That's the point. We do not retaliate ourselves. We take our case to the officials, to the government, to the law, and let the law deal with it. We do not take revenge ourselves. It's hard to submit to that. Just skip ahead here a little bit. Just look at Romans 13, verses 3 and 4. And I'll just read those. Romans 13, 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Police and soldiers of a nation do not bear the sword in vain. God has put them there. They are ministers of God, the Bible says. In the Old Testament, God demands blood for blood. However, in our society, we allow a crime to go unpunished. And we have laws, but we don't live by them, you know. We have allowed it more and more over time. And I've often asked the question, what if a person's guilty of a crime and he has a slick-talking lawyer and his lawyer wiggles things around to where the guy is let off the hook, the guy goes free? Has justice been served? No, it is not. You think that's ever happened in America? Folks, I think it's more that way today than it is being done right. And society has accepted this. And again, this lawyer, he's feeling great about himself. He won his case. That's the main purpose. It's not to find that the guy is guilty and to see about getting him punished. The objective is just to win the case. It doesn't matter what it takes, win the case. And this guy is gonna, and if he wins that case, and all of a sudden his name is elevated and he gets the bigger jobs, as long as he's winning cases, that's all that matters. Doesn't matter if the guy's guilty or not. That's the furthest thing from their mind. And I get so frustrated with it. And but that's it. And anymore, that the Bible talks about eventually they're going to be calling good is going to be called bad and bad is going to be called good. And folks, we're there in our society. And it's been a turnaround since I was a kid. It didn't used to be that way, but it sure is today. And, this guy gets all kinds of pats on the back and raises and all this, and he's the famous lawyer. And if you're a crook and you got a lot of money and you need a good lawyer, get him. He'll get you off the hook. That's the mindset today. Folks, it's wrong. But again, remember, payday is coming. Now, we need to pray for those people that God, would save them. I pray for our government leaders. Lord, I just wish you'd save a bunch of our leaders. They need it bad. This is way off the cuff, but I've often thought, I shouldn't. Anyway, President Biden and Pelosi should both have been excommunicated from the Catholic Church years and years and years ago. Catholic Church stands for pro-life. And yet, I don't understand it. Okay, moving on, Jim. I shouldn't have. I get frustrated at times. I have trouble living what we're talking about here. Okay. However, in our society, we allow crime to go unpunished. We have allowed it more and more over time. There are murderers running around unpunished. Loopholes in the law, this and that, all kinds of stuff. Loopholes, you know, just get some little tiny loophole. Or maybe they say somebody mishandled something. Well, they throw the case out, you know, everything to get the guy off the hook. Or gal. I always talk about the guys. We tend to be more prone to wrong things. Loopholes in the law. And our society probably bears a responsibility for that. I think that's why we're seeing the rampant, or one of the many, many, many reasons why we're seeing such lawlessness in our land. Because we have not reciprocated against evil by the judicial process, the law of God, which is ordered for society. We have laws, but we don't live by them. Our society bears the guilt of failing to punish evildoers. And it puts us in a position to be judged by God. But for personal revenge, that is not our place. We are not to personally retaliate. The Bible says, pay back no man evil for evil. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll just read verse 15. Who'd read that for us? Somebody different. Pastor?
Seeing that none render evil for evil unto any man, and ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men.
Okay, thank you, Pastor. Instead of giving back evil, give back what? Good. Okay, I'll give you a scenario here. When somebody does something evil to you, if you're just set up for a momentary reaction, you're going to act with evil against evil, right? That's our nature. Most of us will. Maybe there's a few in here that wouldn't, but anyway, that's our natural reaction. So we have to premeditate and plan to do good when evil comes. It is a preparation process to think it through. What am I going to do if, you know, anyway, and I need to be rereading all these verses here all along, you know. And if we are right back to where we were earlier, okay, we're right back to where we were earlier, self-discipline. A disciplined life is an ordered mind where all reactions are premeditated. So when something comes, I am not left to react with my bare and raw emotions humanly. We need to think it through. You know, if something bad happens to me, how am I going to react? God says we're supposed to give them good. And if we have a go through the thought process of trying to prepare for it, it may help us. But I have already prepared for it in advance, and I am ready to respond with goodness. That's the premeditated, ordered, disciplined life. To try to predetermine if something, you know, whatever happens bad to me, something like that, I want to honor the Lord. We're all representatives of Jesus Christ. We're his soldiers. And we need to react in a good way. And that's not easy to do. The verse goes on to say, it says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. The word honest is K-A-L-A-S. It means it's visibly good, outwardly good, tangibly good. In other words, when someone does you evil, do good to them in a way that they can see it, that's visible. It's a visible act of goodness that we return something good, something kind, something gracious to them. We need to premeditate a right response and so that we rightly represent the God that we belong to. It seemed like I've left out some, I think I've seems like something's missing here. We're about out of time. Anyway, maybe it's coming up. I work ahead and I get confused on where I am. Basically, if somebody has stolen from you, okay, and you find out who it is, you're not to take vengeance yourself. There are proper channels to deal with that. And that's why the Bible says we're to go to the government, let the government take care of that business. And then, what if they give you the wrong outcome? I think that's just, we have to just grit it, grin and bear it, to be biblical, to be scriptural. Okay, Lord, you could have let me win my case, but you've, and it, everything that happens to us folks has to go through the fingers of God, you know. And Lord, okay, I got robbed, okay, and yet I didn't get the verdict I want, and the guilty person's going free. How do we respond to that? Just God, just to realize God is big enough that he could have won that case for you. He has chosen not to. And we just say, okay, I'll just pick up the pieces and move on with my life. That's the response we're supposed to have. And let the government take care of what the government's to do. There is no place for personal vengeance, getting back, getting even. Those things are not biblical. Any questions or comments? Our time is up. Well, we got a minute. Jim, you're teaching this stuff. Does that mean you got it all under control? Absolutely not. Okay. Tough verses to live by, but that's what God wants. Let's pray. Dear Father, tough words to live by. Lord, it goes against our grain. It goes against our human nature. And Lord, help us to take these principles that we've been studying here. And Lord, with your help, help us, Lord, to do better. Help us, Lord, to get victory. And to do live out the things that we've been been hearing about this morning. And Lord, we need your help to do it, because Lord, we cannot do this on our own. It just goes against our grain, our sinful nature. So we just pray that you'll help us, Lord. Give us the victory, and Lord, just to draw closer to you, and Lord, just live closer to what you want us to be. Father, I just pray that you'll be with Pastor McNally this morning as he brings a message. I pray, Lord, you open our hearts. Lord, just teach us and show us and help us, Lord, to respond in the right way, in the way that you want us to respond. And we're just thankful for the privilege we have, Lord, of freely coming, studying your word. And we're thankful for your word. And, Lord, we do want to live the disciplined life. That should be our desire. And help us, Lord, to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.